Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Jones Akiva is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
You would have to put him ahead of Caleb Williams, even though Caleb Williams was taken first. I think Williams has the potential, and Nix has what he did in his first year, and May is sort of halfway in between. I think, look, everybody agrees this is a really talented guy, and if you keep him upright behind a better offensive line, and I mean, all they have to do is go to average, right? They don't have to be a great offensive line. It's just a huge step forward just to go to average. You're going to see a better performance.
Aaron Schatz, Keith.
Oh, Schatz?
Schatz.
He was good breakdown
on,
there.
He was on with Greg Bedard. I did really think it was a good breakdown.
Yeah.
Where if you're talking about the second-year quarterbacks, Drake May is ahead of Caleb Williams based on what happened last year.
Not by much.
And he's behind Bo Nix based on what happened last year. I feel like, I mean, to me anyway, that's consistent. Caleb Williams' numbers look pretty good. You brought this up before.
Yeah, Caleb Williams' numbers aren't bad.
But then you watch him.
Like, oh, it was bad.
We watched him against the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was like his worst game ever.
But even still, but yeah. He was in prime time a lot. Like, I feel like I watched a decent amount of Caleb Williams. I probably watched more Caleb Williams than I watched Bo Nix.
He does get trashed. And
sick brag, bro.
That's a good line. Thank you. But if you ask somebody, you ask a football, like a ball knower, you're like, hey, what were Caleb Williams' stats last year? They'd be like, oh, guys. Probably terrible. Like, yeah. 12 touchdowns, 8 picks. Like, wrong. 20 touchdowns, 6 picks. And he started 17 games, which I also think is an important stat. Because Drake May, the team screwed up, didn't start him right away. Not his fault. But then when he did start, he got hurt twice, had to come out of games. And so Caleb Williams proved that he could play a full NFL season already. Had way more touchdowns than picks. Now, so he had some bad games.
You're taking Caleb Williams and Bo Nix over Drake May. It sounds like you disagree with our guy, Schatz.
Yeah. No, I think this has a chance to be the 2020 draft class. There's one draft class recently that had like 4 good quarterbacks, and people are like, that's kind of the outlier.
It was the Herbert Tua that year, right?
I think so. It was Jordan Love in that one, I think's decent. Jalen Hurts, like whatever.
Right. I think it was 2020.
It can happen. I think Caleb Williams, Drake May, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels can all be pretty good. Jaden Daniels is already good. Bo Nix had a good year and won some games and made the playoffs. The other two guys are still more up in the air. So if you ask me to bet on them, I think they're all going to be decent. But coming into their rookie year, I would have taken Caleb Williams over Drake May. After last year, there were highs and lows for both. Both had to get new coaches, new coordinators, new everything around them. I think Caleb Williams is the better overall quarterback, but it doesn't mean I don't think that Drake May can have a good year.
So I would have taken May over Williams last year at this time. So basically, neither of us have changed our mind.
Correct.
There hasn't been enough to make us change our minds. See, I agree with that. Yeah. So that's fine. So you preferred Caleb Williams coming into last year.
Yeah.
And going into this season, you still prefer Caleb Williams. They were close enough where I think that's fair.
Who's in a better spot right now?
I was on the opposite side of that debate. Well, it's an interesting question. I think Caleb Williams has more talent around him. I think Drake May has a super easy schedule. The Bears don't have an easy schedule. They got to play the Lions twice and the Vikings twice.
Lions are going to be down.
Lions are going to be down. But
that's my bold flavor for the year.
Aren't they? Well, don't spoil our NFL predictions yet. That's a month's long tease is what that is.
They might not be great this year.
But they just
lost another dude.
That's a tough division. So who's in a better spot? Well, talent-wise around him, definitely Caleb Williams has more talent around
him. Ben Johnson calling your plays or Josh McDaniels?
Better play caller? Agreed. Yeah. Who's got more winnable games? Drake May. And I don't really think it's close. Who's got a better defense? That might still be Caleb Williams, actually.
Yeah. No, you're right. The schedule, and I think that's one of the things that you and I keep pointing to as to why we're so kind of high on the Patriots and like their overall win total and what their expectations should be, is it kind of broke right for them. You know, they finished last year. They got a last-place schedule on top of some of the other games that change year over year. Like, it's shaping up pretty good for them. Like, they play a bunch of bad teams. I also don't know just how good the Jets and Dolphins are going to be, for example. So those are four more of your games in there outside of the teams that finished last in all the teams that were drafting at the top this year. You play all of them. So that is definitely in their favor.
And look, what looks good on paper might not necessarily come to fruition. Some of those teams might be good or better than expected. So you never know. But sitting here today, I'd say the Patriots have more winnable games than Chicago.
I agree.
By the way, the 2020 draft class. This is from the Jones Stats and Info Department.
2020, this is the good one, right?
Yep. Joe Burrow won. We missed that one.
Of course.
Tua 5, Herbert 6. And then if you go to the late first round, you got Jordan Love at 26. You have Jalen Hurts at 53.
That's five legitimate starting quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. One's already won a Super Bowl. Another's already been to a Super Bowl. All Pro Bowlers at one point. So I think this last year's draft class could be similar. Like, I don't like J.J. McCarthy, but who knows? Maybe he ends up being good, too. That was a good class. Penix, we'll see.
Well, yeah, no, there's some names there.
I mean, Daniels is already like a no-brainer. Everybody else is still kind of fighting for it. Like, Drake May this season could certainly go in a variety of ways. You see the way he's being talked about going into this year. The expectations nationally are not very high for Drake May.
No.
I think locally they are, though.
Locally they are, and I think they should be. You guys can discuss 617-779-7937. Already a lot of pushback on, I guess, my stance on Drake May. They're siding with you. They're disagreeing with me and Schatz.
you and Schatz.
Caleb way better. No contest. Drake plays like Drew Bledsoe's last few years. Happy feet. Makes receivers catch without being able to get yards after catch. Do you think May had happy feet?
No.
I think he took off. he took off and picked up yards. Bledsoe never did that.
Weren't they touting how great his footwork was after they sat him for the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember Bledsoe running for as many yards as Drake
and
May.
I wouldn't describe Drake May as I would describe Caleb Williams as happy feet. I don't think Drake May had happy feet. I think May actually looked pretty comfortable in the pocket. He was too turnover prone.
Yeah.
But
he won one game.
Yeah, I don't think he looked uncomfortable in the pocket. Williams
and
had no
after catch. Is that a skill issue or Drake May issue?
Well, that's the text
who's
point.
Getting
if
he's, open.
If
no,
he's
who's
not,
getting open to get run after the catch?
Well, fair.
No, they got nobody.
Williams had no offensive line. He was running for his life on every dropback. Same for Drake May.
They also fired their offensive coordinator in the season for the Bears.
Yeah, they switched play callers multiple times last year.
They did it at least right after the Patriots game, I believe.
Yeah.
Right now when Shane Waldron got canned.
Oh, no. Yeah. So
and then they might have at the end of the year. I don't even remember.
Yeah, well, because then they fired Eberflus later, right?
The coach, yeah.
And so then the interim offensive coordinator who's now here, right, Thomas Brown?
Yeah, he got promoted twice in like 3 weeks.
He was going places.
Yeah. And also, I think their weapons ended up way better than Drake May's, but it was a little bit overrated because like, they're like, well, they got Keenan Allen. It's like, looks like he ate Keenan Allen. Like, that guy, I don't know how much he was helping.
Right.
Roma Dunze was a rookie, so he was kind of hot or cold. They did have DJ Moore, but he didn't even seem like he wanted to be there.
Nope.
So their offensive line was trash. And then you remember their schedule was a murderer's row because they started the year like maybe 5-5.
No, I'm telling you, it's going to be murderer's row again.
No, it is. No, yeah. I get that. But that doesn't mean Caleb Williams is worse than Drake May. It just means it's going to be more difficult for him to win games.
No, that's fair.
We pulled that up last year. I remember in real time, I think they were like 5-5. And we're like, could the Bears be like a playoff team?
And
we're
like,
looking at the schedule, like, they might not win another game. And they didn't. They like lost out, didn't they?
Yeah, did they pick up one late season win? I forget.
Oh yeah, they won week 17.
There you go.
But they lost from week 8 through week 17.
They were 4-2.
Every game.
They were 4-2, right?
They were 4-2 going into their bye week.
Then they had the Jaden Daniels game with the Hail Mary and they basically never won again.
They lost 10 straight games.
So all I would say, and this is a debate this morning with Chris and Scheim, and I heard or with Curtis and Scheim. Not Scheim with himself.
Although I've listened to that before too.
And I thought it was a good debate. But just because Caleb Williams has better weapons also doesn't make him better than Drake May, right? If we're going independent of the schedule and going independent of the weapons, who's better? I would still take May.
Yeah.
But that's up for debate.
No, I think it's just to circle back, the top three quarterbacks drafted a year ago, they all had their opportunity last year. One clearly took off.
Yep.
So they were all it was up for debate. If you asked three different people who the best quarterback was coming into the draft, you might have gotten three different answers.
Yep.
This past year, no, you can't. Now, that was one guy.
Based on the league's intel to Jeremy Fowler, he's the best quarterback in the NFC after 1 year.
They're chasing him, but I still think if you polled 100 scouts in the NFL, Caleb Williams or Drake May, it might be 50-50. Like, I feel like that would be pretty close.
And if you add Nixon to it, it might be
split. They might take Nix, yeah.
True. So you guys can jump in, 617-779. 7937. Where does Drake May fit in with the quarterbacks from a year ago? Is he better than Caleb Williams? Is he better than Bo Nix? Again, you can jump in there. You can also stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. You can catch the Dork Minute there as well. Comes your way at 11:45. Meanwhile, Phil Perry, Keefe, came out with the quarterback situation rankings.
Situation rankings.
We like a good ranking.
Love
on this show.
Ranking, whether it's players, coaches, situations, whatever it might be.
Whatever you have.
Yeah.
And so he used as a guidepost what Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks at the Move the Sticks podcast used.
Sure.
The three P's, Keefe.
Three P's?
Any guesses as to what those are?
Pursuit, persistence, plum.
Close. Playmaker?
Yep.
Play caller.
Play caller.
Protection.
Play protection.
There.
I got there. Just as quick as you did maybe a little bit before.
So those are the three P's.
Yep.
He used those to sort of rank these QB situations. Again, that's playmaker.
Yep.
Play caller. Protection.
Protection.
Is what that is.
Yep. It's your O-line, it's your skill group, and it's your play call. I got it. OC.
So Phil has been ranking those individual categories as they've gone along.
Okay.
I remember we talked about this at one point, the playmaker rankings.
Low.
Your pass catchers, they were 31st out of 32.
Yep, that's low.
Play caller, he had Josh McDaniels 11th.
Okay.
Play caller in the league, so not a top 10 play caller, but certainly an improvement from a year ago. And in the protection category, very important. They checked in 24th out of 32. Okay. So all he did was average all three together, and he came up with a league-wide ranking of the quarterback situations. So I'm looking at the different rankings / tiers. He tiered and ranked, Keith, which is what I like to do.
Tiers and rankings, so a ranking within the tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So, like, for instance, you've won the lottery, kid, is the top tier.
You won the lottery, kid.
Vikings, Rams, Ravens, Niners. That's his top tier 1-4.
Okay. Those are good situations for quarterbacks.
Great situations yep. for quarterbacks.
I get it.
Cushy setup. Bears, Caleb Williams. Broncos, Bo Nix, mm-hmm. 5-6. Eagles, Commanders, Buccaneers are 7-9. Okay?
Okay.
Still no Patriots.
No.
Must be nice. Tier 3. Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Packers, Colts. Honestly, I think that's way high on Chiefs and Bills, but it's not just the talent.
I was going to say.
It's the O-line, it's the coaching, right. It's all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Reid probably ranks him at the top for that part of it.
So
play
that
caller.
Factors
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now we're basically through the top half of the league.
Yep.
We get to tier 4, seen worse. Still no Patriots.
No.
Dolphins, Falcons, Bengals, Cardinals. It's on your shoulders. Quarterbacks.
Yep.
Raiders, Chargers, Jaguars, Browns, Cowboys. That's 19-23.
All right, still going.
Checking in at the second-to-last tier, the playing with fire tier, you have the New England Patriots tied for 24th with the New York Giants.
Man, couldn't even get a tiebreaker there.
Nope. So
the 24th, maybe 25th best best situation in the NFL. And my guess is Phil probably had Josh McDaniels ranked relatively high.
He had him 11th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that skews the ratings a little bit, or it helps the ratings a little bit,
right.
Because protection and playmakers are towards the bottom. We know where playmakers ranks.
If we're
and
lower,
obviously protection's not very high either.
If we're lower on McDaniels, and I think we're both probably lower on McDaniels than Phil is.
Yep.
Right. You're actually this
even
is an inflated
lower.
Number. Yeah. Good point.
Yep. No, but I mean it's not a surprise. Like the quarterback, any quarterback, Drake May, or if it happened to be somebody else, is going to have to be the one that elevates them. It's not in that Minnesota-San Francisco tier where you just don't screw it up. That's sort of the idea for that quarterback. Like, hey, don't throw bad picks. Put us in the right spot. Our talent's going to win out. These teams that you're talking about down here that don't have everything going for them, you got to be the quarterback that someday is going to make $50 million a year. You're going to have to prove that you're the best player on offense. They improved where they were a year ago. I don't know if Phil did this exercise last year. My guess is they were 31st or 32nd. Because they had a worse protection, they had worse playmakers, they had a worse play caller.
Right.
So they probably, moved up.
It's better to be 24-25 than 31-32.
Yeah.
But you're still 24-25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so here are the worse offensive situations for a quarterback than Drake May. Now, remember, they're tied with the Giants, so take them off the list.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers are 26.
So, I don't know.
I'd rather have George Pickens and what's going on there, right?
What's his name too, right? Didn't they just get DK Metcalf?
What did I say? Pickens? I meant to say Metcalf. Right. They shipped
out
Pickens.
They got rid of Pickens.
DK
Metcalf. Yes. Is Arthur Smith the offensive coordinator?
Mm-hmm.
They just added Jonnu Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Probably better.
I think I'd rather have what's going on. And remember, it's quarterback independent.
Yeah,
these are the situations around the quarterback. So I think I'd rather have the Steelers. The Saints I'd agree with. Saints is a terrible
Saints
situation.
Saints is a mess. Good one.
So that's the end of that tier. Bottom tier. This could get ugly.
Oh, ooh.
Jets?
They got Garrett Wilson.
I'd rather have the Jets.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Garrett Wilson. I know, like, now Bruce I got to factor in the play caller. Now I got to factor in the O-line, all this other stuff. I'd rather have the Jets' talent.
They clearly have a number one. I feel like without getting into the specifics on the O-line, I'm not 100% sure on the differences. But last year, when you looked at the Commanders and Jaden Daniels was there, wasn't it? Well, you got Terry McLaurin and really nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made that happen. So I feel like the Jets is kind of similar. It's like you don't have a ton, but you do have Garrett Wilson. He's a top 10 receiver.
I'd rather sacrifice a quote unquote high end play caller, Josh McDaniels, which I disagree with. That's why I put it in quotes.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, as you said, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson than the play caller, personally. The other teams are Carolina, Houston, Seattle, Tennessee. Houston. Yeah. I mean, look, Nico Collins to me is a standout, but they're relying on a lot of rookies there.
Yep.
But that's another one I'd at least think about.
All right.
But that's where the Patriots slot in, which, yeah, is not great. And I think it just hammers home some of these things we've been talking about, or at least, you know, while I was in last week, kind of where we left off. I know Jeremy Fowler continued his ranks.
Yeah.
The Patriots have one top 10 player in the league.
They shockingly did not have a wideout. We went over that list. They did not have a wideout. They, between guys that were honorable mentions and receiving votes, they went, I think, 25 deep. No surprise.
Yeah.
They didn't have it. I thought, I don't know. The expectation for Diggs across the league is clearly very low. I think at the end of the year, there's a chance he's a top 25 guy, but regardless. And then they did corners where Gonzo was sixth, although he did get first place votes. There were at least one first place vote on there for him. Finished sixth, but there was a lot of talk. One of the quotes, the pull quotes was, He could be the next big
thing. He's the closest thing to Sertan,
yes,
right? I saw that. I didn't realize he got a first-place vote, but I did
he
see
did.
That comment. Yeah.
And then Carlton Davis was in receiving votes. So, I mean, clearly the strength of the team, if you're doing this position group rankings, would be the corners. I mean, those are two corners that most teams in the league would want and should be one of the better duos in the whole entire NFL.
Yeah, and look, I'm not surprised when you look at their talent. It's improved from a year ago, as you said, but it's still bottom third-ish of the league. That checks out to me.
I'm trying to think about how many players were actually referenced over that. It had to be like 250 players, right?
Oh, total?
Total.
Yeah, something like that, probably.
So like 300 maybe, because they go deep into these honorable mentions and also receiving votes. So let's say out of 300 players in the NFL, I think the Patriots had five guys.
I think that's right.
Named.
I think they had
Duggar, Henry.
Yeah, so
Gonzo, Davis, and Spillane.
Yeah, correct. Gonzalez was sixth among corners. He's their only top 10 player.
Right.
Henry was their only honorable mention. And then, Spillane, Davis, and Duggar all also received votes. That's it.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, and it's all, So, I mean, you'll take the love for Gonzo in the corners, and that's great. But other than that, you got a middle linebacker, a tight end, and a safety.
Well, and you just mentioned Diggs. We should add this, and we can get into the discussion further about the wide receiver room and what a fully healthy Diggs looks like. He's not starting camp on PUP. And
that's good news.
I've been nervous from before they even signed him. Before they even brought him in, I'm like, I wouldn't sign him because I don't think he's going to be ready for week one. If he's not starting camp on PUP, he's going to be ready quicker than I thought. Even if it's not week one, it's going to be faster than I thought. We were talking week four. He'll assuredly be back for week five, the rematch with Buffalo. But PUP would have him out for what, the first 4 weeks? He's going to be back sooner than that based on the Patriots leaving him off the list.
Be watching him like a hawk on Wednesday.
Tell you
what, that's the guy to keep an eye on. By far.
Well, that's the guy I'm going to be watching.
No, I'm going to be watching. I have my eyes on him.
I'm locked in on a hawk.
I'm going to be looking at Diggs.
Like Steph Diggs.
Yep, I'm going to bring my little binocs.
But that's not something I expected, Keith. And if he's out there week one, maybe it does make me feel better about their receiver room and the talent around Drake May. That's a big difference if he's out there week one.
Because they are really depending on this guy. You know, and you could argue whether they should, shouldn't, or the position they've put themselves in, whatever. They desperately need him because after that, it's going to take some sort of out-of-nowhere career year from another one of those receivers where nobody saw it coming. Like, who's the second-best receiver? Like, assuming Diggs is your best, even in this state of Steph Diggs, there's no consensus second-best guy, and I don't know how high that ceiling even is. So if Diggs can't go for any number of reasons, like, good luck.
So the Patriots could still make moves to improve their receiver room, but it does sound like Diggs is close to a return, which should make you feel different about Drake May and the talent around Drake May. going into training camp, which gets started on Wednesday. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel tomorrow, right about this time, 24 hours from now, at 11:30. We'll play that for you live on Jones and Keefe, which means we'll have to move tiers a little earlier in the program. Also have a Dork Minute on the way at 11:45 today, so less than a half hour from now. Stay tuned for that. We'll get back to Stephon Diggs and when we expect him on the field right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Shaw's and Style Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. The Red Sox avoided the sweep with yesterday's 6-1 win over the Cubs in Chicago. Willie Abreu hit a two-run home run in the top of the seventh and a solo home run in the top of the eighth. Sox also got a pinch-hit three-run home run from Alex Bregman. Garrett Crochet earned his 11th win of the season, going six innings, giving up just one run and striking out five. Tonight, the Red Sox begin a three-game series against the Phillies in Philadelphia. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Walker Buehler will get the start for the Sox in the series open against the Phillies' Zach Wheeler. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil beginning at 5:45. The Celtics closed out their summer league schedule yesterday with a 101-80 win over the Hawks. The Celtics preseason schedule will begin on October 8th against the Grizzlies in Memphis. Patriots rookies reported to training camp on Saturday. Quarterback Drake May has reported to camp ahead of schedule. The rest of the Patriots roster will arrive at Gillette Stadium tomorrow, and the team will hold their first official training camp practice on Wednesday. And Scottie Scheffler is your winner at the Open Championship. Scheffler shot 3-under in the final round and finished the tournament 17-under. This is Scheffler's fourth major win. Want to win free groceries and epic Boston sports and concert prizes? Enter the Shaw's and Style Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for your entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Jones and Keith on WEEI.
WEEI.
WEEI.